What happened on the second Sunday of Easter? Anybody remember? It's in the scripture for the day. What is it? Doubting Thomas put his finger into Jesus' hands and Jesus' side and Jesus' feet. And he said, "My Lord and my God." And all of those songs that Toby sang today were songs of triumph. My Lord and my God. And Jesus says, blessed are you because you believe, but blessed are they who believe who have not seen me. So this is a powerful day because Jesus said that he came, and I'll echo this through the whole time, to set us free. What is he setting us free from? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Has anybody ever met that guy or that person, those people in your life that kill, steal, and Jesus says, I came to set you free and give you a more abundant life, whether it's addictions, whether it's any of the problems that we face, Jesus came to set us free. For the first three, I'm glad Scott just took a step out. I love this cross that was behind the picture of my parents here. But you know, for the first 300 years of the church, the cross was what? It's not a symbol. It's not a road sign. The cross was an instrument of death. It's like putting the electric chair or a scimitar if you're in ISIS territory. What they had in every church, if you go to Ravinia, if you go to Israel, if you go all over the world, was the resurrected Christ. Because what carried the church for the first 300 years as a small group of disciples overthrew the Roman Empire, the meanest, most horrible empire of all time, was the vision of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to tell you that we can have a resurrected culture, and I'm going to tell you a lot of good news. Now, one of the good news, I just did part of the five words for preaching just now, but I'm going to do another one. I grew up in the entertainment industry. My mother was a star with MGM, and she was absolutely gorgeous and wonderful. She died when I was young, and after she died, I started looking for love in all the wrong places. And my father was a cowboy star. He also starred in a lot of other movies, and he won the box office award in 1936. And when Scott introduced me the first time, he said, you know, Hollywood's all about fame and fortune, et cetera. Well, fame is fleeting. I was head of a department at Berkeley, head of a department at City University of New York. They didn't even remember John Wayne at Berkeley, who used to come to Catalina. So don't worry about it. Fame is fleeting. But I grew up in a very liberal, libertine environment that I don't want to describe because my wife is sitting back there with my daughter, and they don't want to hear this. But at one point, I funded five feature films. One of them was Oliver Stone's first film. They were terrible films. It's because my supplier was Peter Fonda. And when I funded the film, some nice woman who had been my mother's age, who was trying to reach me with the gospel, gave me the Bible and said, why are you so anti-Christian? And I was very anti-Christian. And she said, just read it and tell me what's wrong with it. And it took a couple of months. I kept stalling her. And finally, she was so obnoxious that I finally read it and I came to Christ. God told me what was wrong with me. But better than that, he told me about the resurrection power in Jesus Christ. And because I grew up in the industry, I went to seminary, which I call cemetery in New York. And to get me out of the diocese, they elected me head of the organization that did The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe on CBS television. Anybody ever see the animated version of the... You did?
Yes.
That's where you heard of me. Okay, so it had 37 million viewers, won an Emmy Award. And it had taken them from 1954 to 1979 to get that on the air. The average movie in Hollywood takes 13 years. And after doing all the trash that I had done before, Oliver Stone's first film, etc., I said, how can I change the industry? And God put it on my heart to do what we're doing now, which is to equip you to make a difference in the culture. So that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to have a wonderful time of showing you just what you can do to make a difference. So you can help transform the culture, and you're going to hear a lot of good news. When we started, after I did The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, there was only one movie with positive Christian content coming out of Hollywood. At that time, if you ever heard the word Jesus, it was a profanity. If you ever saw a minister, he had a knife in his hand, and he was running around in Poltergeist trying to kill somebody. It has changed. When we started, there was one, Trip to Bountiful. Now it's up to 60% for the last 2 years, with at least something like Captain America, Winter Soldier, where they have the scripture verse on the gravestone, and where they have the Bible, where she has to swear in the Bible. So you'll see why that happens. Those are pictures of my parents during the Golden Age, and we'll get into that in detail. And there's the wardrobe version that we did. And then when he did that, C.S. Lewis's stepson is the godfather of my daughter-in-law and one of my granddaughters. And he said, let's do it as a movie. And I said, if it takes another 35 years, I'll be 60 when the movie comes out. I was 60 when the movie came out. So there you go. But we've seen a lot of positive changes. Why are we called to do this? Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those such as these. One of the people in the original service here, Trudy, is from Germany, and the churches are empty in Germany. You know, when I came to Christ in the United States, I started stopping by a little Presbyterian church, and the pastor asked me, why don't you come on Sunday? And I said, what do you do on Sunday? And you didn't laugh. I'm impressed. But I said this a year ago or 2 years ago when Evie was with me in Orlando, and a guy said, that's absurd. Everybody knows what you do on Sunday. Well, maybe I was out of it. I had taken too many drugs. I was doing too much. But whatever it was, the Barna just came out with a report 2 years ago, Scott, that only 4% of the people have ever been asked to go to church who are unchurched. About half the population of the United States is unchurched. Now, in Catalina, we know that's not the case anymore, Darlene, that everybody's churched. But if they're not, and you don't want to talk about Jesus, talk about church, because tell them you can come and you can get breakfast, which is terrific, and even though the kitchen is being fixed, and you can get orange juice and coffee, it's just a wonderful place. Why do children go from this innocent girl, which is just my excuse to show one of my granddaughters? By the way, Toby, I have 5 granddaughters, 5 and under, so 6 and under, and you've got 5 boys. Mine are on an island, Tasmania. Yours are on an island, Catalina. So, you know, just get them together in the right time. I don't know this other girl, but why do they go to this other girl? Because they're fed 50 shades of gray instead of the 10 commandments. And we're going to go and unpack that, but it is a very powerful influence. So our job is to be your advocate in Hollywood. There are many ministries in Hollywood now. When we started, we were the only one, but we're an advocacy group. So we go in toe-to-toe, and we give out awards, we give out detail, we do script analysis. We'll talk about a lot of different things, but we're your advocate in Hollywood. And what you'll see is clips from interviews that Evie did. She did 180 stars last year. She should stand up and give this talk. She's heard it so much. Angelina Jolie asked for her. So she's doing a tremendous job. We're always witnessing to people. And, you know, Scott was talking about one person who came to Christ. I walked into my gala this year, and one of the big stars on television came up to me as he was passing through the red carpet and said, I want to be baptized. And another guy who was Muslim, he's come to Christ. He said, you know, I've given up and I've come to Christ. And another person, communist, Jewish, all sorts of people, all different backgrounds coming to Christ. So there was revival in River City, Scott. We can talk about revival. But first, the good news. I've already told you that it went from one movie with positive Christian content to 60%. Why did that happen? It happened not because everybody suddenly came to Christ. It happened because we showed people how to make more money at the box office. Quite frankly, we said to them, we want to help you succeed. This whole weekend, I've been telling Scott, I want to help you. Scott has helped me tremendously. This coming here to Catalina is like taking a vacation. This is just wonderful. I never take vacations. My daughter said, this is her only vacation for the year. I'm going to try to get you another vacation, Evie. But we do this detailed economic analysis, and what we used at this time was 120 criteria. We've multiplied that a little bit. And it's like tuning up your car. We look at the movies in terms of aesthetics and ontology, epistemology, semantics and tactics. And if anybody went to film school, they'd know what all that means. But we look at it in spiritual values, in terms of language, in terms of every possible criteria to show what does better. We do this report to the entertainment industry that I brought a handful with me, not very many, but anybody who's interested in the economics of Hollywood. After one of my talks, a guy who did the Superman movies, who's done over $3 billion worth of movies and comes to our gala all the time and just bought one of our Skyro scripts, was walking around picking up these reports, which are about that thick, 8-point type of all this economic analysis. He's Jewish, and my son said, why are you picking those up? He said, I use these to make Superman to put the Jesus myth in my movies. It's not a myth, okay? But I'm happy because he is doing something that Superman goes to church to take a leap of faith. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But if you look at it, audiences love great movies. And great movies, if you boil all of those criteria down, a great story is well told. It's very hard to tell a great story. I see people making mistakes all the time. I see Left Behind, where the plot point is supposed to be on page 17. If the plot point goes beyond page 17, people start to get tired. I think the first plot point in Left Behind on page 60. That means for the 60 minutes, you're asleep in the theater constantly. So movies have structure, like a car. You know, if you don't have front wheels and rear wheels, you're going to be in trouble. Left Behind, the front wheels right next to the rear wheels, so you were scraping along the ground. They have a positive worldview. Now, I was head of a department at Berkeley, and my Berkeley students would say, well, we don't want a positive worldview. But, you know, my wife's been on chemotherapy for 20 years, and she just had 3 operations. And when you're in trouble, you want a positive worldview. And then when you realize that the doctors and everybody else has run out of solutions, what do you need? You need God. You need Jesus Christ, who came to set us free and to heal us and to guide us and to give us that resurrection power. So we need God. So even Superman, when he goes, he takes Lois Lane in one of the Superman movies where she's written an article. Remember, she's a journalist, and she says the world doesn't need a savior. He takes her above Metropolis, and she can hear a little African-American man, thanks to Superman, saying, Lord, save my baby. And a man in Ohio saying, God, save my job. People are crying out to God all over the world. We just have to introduce him to who he is, bring him into church, and help them to know. But those are the 3 elements. Now, how do we know that those elements work? Because if you look at the top 10 films last year, 90% of them had positive Christian worldview, moral worldview. Absolutely incredible. The biggest box office movie of last year, do you know, in terms of profits, was God's Not Dead. The price point difference between what it was made for and what it made at the box office, it was the biggest profit maker. None of the top-rated movies were R, and none had anti-American content. In fact, of the top 25 movies, only 3 of them were R-rated. Think about that. If you look at it, Christians buy more tickets than non-Christians. The average person buys 1.7 tickets a year. The average Christian points 2.7 tickets a year. Now, I know that I didn't grow up in the church. If you grew up in the church, many parts of the evangelical church, you were told not to go to movies. I remember going to a movie once in Colorado Springs because I was showing a movie there, and James Dobson was in the top row, and he had a hat on, and he had sunglasses, and he wasn't allowed to go to movies. But get over it. You know, take off the hat, take off the sunglasses. Christians are going to more movies. And in fact, Jim got the denomination to change that requirement just for the sake of Scott back there. 90% of the top movies overseas. You know that in Saudi Arabia, The Passion of the Christ did better per capita than it did in the United States? We have offices in Germany. They license Movie Guide for about $1,000 a year. In Russia for about $5,000. In Korea, we have affiliates. In Japan, we have affiliates. Why would they do better in those countries than they do here? Because people need a savior. Somebody with a granddaughter. Somebody who's got a daughter who's in Juarez. Somebody who's got a new grandson in Camarillo, California. You want them to survive. You want them to do well. You're crying out to God for a savior because you know that Jesus has resurrection power. So all over the world, people are looking for that solution. And that means that Christian films, very, very Christian, and this, you know, we go back to the 80s and the 90s, but let's see, there's Blind Side in here. Passion of the Christ was before, but it's just incredible. Year after year after year, movies with faith and values, Christian faith and values, do better at the box office. But there's more at stake than just profits, which is the way we reach Hollywood. And then when they come to Christ, we send them to different churches depending upon their feelings and where they grew up, etc. Movies can and do have a tremendous influence. You know, if Walt Disney was alive today, he'd be saying movies, iPhones, iPads, all of this stuff have a tremendous difference. There have been 500,000 studies on the influence of the mass media. How do we know the mass media has an influence? Well, advertisers spend $74 billion a year. Imagine telling an advertiser on the Super Bowl, you don't have to spend $3 million on an ad. You can't sell your car. You can't sell your toothpaste. It doesn't work, so stop spending all this money. People would go nuts, and nobody would buy their products. Advertising works. 500,000 studies that have been done, according to the National Institute of the government that ranks all of this stuff, the Congressional Office, those 500,000 studies, there's only been one study that said that the media didn't have an influence. That was done in 1985 by ABC Television, and they don't believe it because they're still selling advertising. So the more educated you are, the more convinced about the influence of the media. And I contend that's why I was elected head of the department at Berkeley. But the fact of the matter is, the more intelligent you are, the more influenced by the media you are. If you look at the 30 or so people who went off and did killing sprees in the United States, most of them are very intelligent. People are always asking, why are these people who are joining ISIS going to have come out from being doctors and dentists and going to Cambridge and Oxford? Because the more intelligent you are, the more you understand, you get it. You get the message. Now, is everybody susceptible to violence? No. From those 500,000 studies, we know that about 7 to 11% want to copy the violence. We also know about 25% want to copy the drugs. We know that about 31% get hooked on some of the sexual activities. We know that it reaches different people concerned with their propensity. That's why God said that there are seven deadly sins. Each person has a different area of their life that they're influenced. I was a pudgy little teddy bear, and I grew up on Broadway, so I was the one who got beat up, so I wasn't interested in the violence. But when I did, you know, go off the deep end, it was into drugs. And when I came to Christ, God stopped all of it without even asking. Everything stopped, all of the illicit behavior, all of the drugs, all of that. By the time a child turns 17, they spend over 60,000 hours with the mass media. We know that even Scott knows about the mass media because he's watching commercials that my wife and daughter were watching. What program were you watching? No, you don't have to tell me. You know, what people do is they say, I just saw this movie or television show, and it was so bad. I said, did you know you had a choice? You actually didn't need to watch that. And you didn't need to watch it to the end to find out how bad it was going to get to be, by the way. So kids who are smart, any kind, pick up their scripts of behavior. If you were born 100 years ago, my mother was born in 1907 in a little town in Texas. Her family had settled in Texas in the 1820s. You didn't have TV. You got your scripts of behavior from your parents on the ranch and from the church and from your local one-room schoolhouse. Now kids are not getting those scripts of behavior. How does a child learn? He watches what his mother and father does on the farm or the ranch or whatever else. And he copies what they do. He learns how to brush their teeth and do all of these different things and dry himself, etc. And the child learns from that. Now they learn from the mass media what to do. 2,000 hours with family, 800 hours with church. I'm afraid the church, you know, Trudy today said the churches in Germany are empty. It broke my heart. The church is facing a tremendous battle because there's this tidal wave of influence from the mass media that's swamping our children and grandchildren. Boys are fed large cases of violence. Only 7 to 11% want to copy the violence. Another group want to see more violence. Another group get desensitized, and another group just get scared, so they want to do something else.
The reports on this guy are that he was a PhD student. He was described as very smart, but in the process of dropping out of graduate school. He is said to have few friends, barely any social life, and they say he allegedly lost touch with reality after becoming obsessed with video games, including role-playing games, something called World of Warcraft, where you compete against people on the internet. The point is, it seems like he was getting more and more withdrawn, to the point where, Doc, and I don't know what this means, but when his mother was contacted about the incident on Friday, she reportedly said to the reporters, "You have the right person. I need to call the police and fly out to Colorado."
Now, do you know where that boy grew up? In the northern part of San Diego, Laguna-type area. You know, he went to a very evangelical church. I'm going to be speaking there in June. He went to a very evangelical school. If it was headed up by a friend of mine, and Denise D'Souza sent his children there, and they came to Christ there. He grew up in a very suburban neighborhood. He didn't grow up on the wrong side of the tracks. He didn't grow up in some impoverished. He may have been better off if he had, but his parents didn't understand the influence of what he was doing. They probably would have said, my son is too smart to be influenced by that. But I tell you, the 83 people that he shot, their parents, their friends, their girlfriends are not saying that. They've lost their loved one. One of the studies that came out, they went to the boys like Ramsey and the others who killed people, and they said, what do you think? And he said, and one after another said, I didn't think they'd get up. I thought it was just going to be like another video game. I thought they would get up, excuse me. I thought I'd have to shoot them several times. So people are getting their scripts of behavior. Congressional study says the existing research shows beyond a doubt that media violence is linked to youth violence. We don't need to go on to it. But overall, with the violence, the sex, the drugs, and everything else, 90% of the children, not just in the United States, but Germany and England and France, are abandoning the church and the values of their parents. Now, what is the value of Christianity that they're abandoning? It's the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control, against which there is no law. If we have a society without love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control, we have what they call paganism. We have a ruthless society where people are taking advantage of each other and things are going downhill at a rapid rate. How did this happen? Well, during the golden age of Hollywood, the church came in after the Roaring Twenties. The Roaring Twenties, movies and television were very violent. Movies, no television at that time, excuse me. But movies were very violent and very sexual. Hedy Lamarr's first movie had 14 minutes of nudity in it. And the movie industry in Hollywood was doing very badly. So Jack Warner, one of the four Warner brothers, said, how can we make a difference? And he called in these churchmen, Daniel Day Lord, Martin Quigley, and Joseph Breen. And he said, what can we do? And they said, look, we'll help you reach a broader audience. It's better to sell four tickets to a family than one ticket to a teenager who wants to go off the deep end. So movies went from being very violent, although they didn't have all the special effects, very sexual, within 3 years to being 100% movies that anybody could take their children to. Even if it was a war movie, you could take your children to it because it wasn't salacious. And it shows the consequences of bad behavior. And during those days, my father was a star and the good guys wore white hats and you couldn't even kiss the horse, let alone the girl. And, you know, crime was punished at that time, which was what you need to do. And then in the 1960s, what happened? You went from 100% G-rated films that anybody could see to 82% R-rated in 3 years. You went from the greatest story ever told, The Passion of the Christ of 1965, to the first Sex and Satanism film, where Anton LaVey, who started the Church of Satan, starred in the film. You went from The Sound of Music to the first X-rated film, and I won't even tell you what about it. And you went from 44 million weekly attendance to 17 million weekly attendance because people stopped going. You didn't have TV. That had started in the 40s. You didn't have DVDs and VHSs, et cetera. That was 20 years down the road. The only change that came back is when you restrict the audience, that's... And I want to know why Pat Boone never gets older. He must have a little picture in his attic, you know, that's getting really old and ragged because he comes every year and he's wonderful. Christian content continues to increase. You know, that's a gift from God. Is anybody happy about that? Just think of it. You can't preach the gospel now in schools. I was head of a department at Berkeley, head of a department at City University of New York. If you do, you're going to be booted. You can't preach the gospel in the government. You can't preach the gospel. I used to be with the U.S. Attorney's Office, Southern District. You can preach the gospel through movies. Think of this. The good news of Jesus Christ love and joy, all of those good things. So faith looks at a seed and sees a tree, looks at a mountain and sees all of these movies. Last year, there was a big article in Charisma. I've got it sitting next to my bed downstairs from Darlene's house, and here it is. They're talking about last year being the year of the Bible, but coming up AD. Has everybody watched AD? Watch AD. It's terrific. It's absolutely, it's better than the Bible. Well, it's part of the Bible. What? Right, in the war room. And do you believe? And Christ the Lord is absolutely great. I've seen it already. And the Ten Commandments is being done by a friend of mine, Cale Border. So all of this effort that we put into the gala and giving people awards and giving people the report to the entertainment industry has had a tremendous consequence. One of the guy who was picking up the report, you know, he's done over $3 billion at the box office because he wants to reach the Christian crowd. Now, what happened to us in the dark days that people like Scott still remember? Scott, do you go to a lot of movies? Okay, did you go see God's Not Dead?
Yes.
Heaven's for Real?
Yes.
Son of God? Oh, wow, it was terrific. There's a flood of these movies coming out every week. There's only 5 movies coming out a week, and I guarantee you that almost every week there's a strong Christian movie coming out, and it's going to be even more. And we need to support them. We need to get out and support our home team when they come out there and bring our friends. But for many years, the church forgot how to tell its story. That's why the church in Germany is dying, and church in France is dying. The church in Italy is dying because they forgot how to tell their story. A civilization that forgets how to tell its story dies. We allowed the others to tell stories that were not true, stories that were depressing. So we teach people how to do that. I do a 4-day class. It was my Berkeley class. It's now, I get a lot of Hollywood people there. I've got one of these books out there, not many, but how to do that. One of them was the head of Disney. Every chapter is based on a successful person in Hollywood, like the head of Warner Brothers, the head of Disney, the head of DreamWorks, because Adam Smith said, if you want to succeed, you look at what succeeds. You don't want to know what I think. You want to know what these people think because you want to be able to do what they're doing and make a difference. And I bet every one of you here has a story. Just to take a theological position to this now, because some of you grew up in the church where you're not supposed to be doing stories, but God created us in His image. And in the beginning, God created, so we created us to be creative. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So He created us to be communicative. That's His image on our lives. There are 5 Greek words, which we translated preaching in English. The one that's used most of the time is not the one that we expect. The one that we use most of the time is being an evangelical or being giving our testimony. Those are some of the Greek words. But the word that's used most of the time, caruso, means to be the herald, to go into the marketplace of ideas, the agora, where Lily and I were in Greece last year, and to yell the good news, Jesus Christ is Lord. Or what they would do in Rome is that some centurion would come in, he'd run in and he'd say, Caesar has just conquered Gaul. He was like Dan Rather. He was like the person in the news media, Brian or Williams or any of these people who talked about what was happening. Jesus is telling you to get out of the temple and go into the world and tell the gospel to people everywhere you go. 60% of the time, that's what he wants you to do, to go into the marketplace of ideas. And this is the way you do it. I'm not going to go into detail on that. It's very structured, very easy. I can teach it to you if you want to know how to do it. You know, or you can go to UCLA and learn how to do it, or USC or Chapman. And we give awards for first-time screenwriters, $50,000 award. Remember I told you it took 13 years to go from script to screen. Our screenwriters who've won awards in 10 years, 12 of them have made the big screens, have gotten into the theaters. Bought by people like Oprah and people like the former head of Disney, et cetera. And also you need to do the second half. One half is to redeem Hollywood. The other half is to teach your kids to be media-wise. Children actually want to learn how to be media-wise. They're open to it. We have a 6-week course, video course, just like all of those courses that other people do, like Rick Warren. But this course is on teaching your children to want to choose the good and reject the bad. And this is a little overview. You know, there are 5 keys to media wisdom. One of them is the influence of the media. Does anybody think the media has an influence? Does it influence you to buy a product that you didn't need? I could tell a story on Lily now. I came home and she had bought something because she saw it on TV. Well, anyway, I think we've all done that. And children at different stages of development. The first stage of development, my little grandson, or the second stage, 3 to 7, they're very vulnerable. They're confused between imagination stage of cognitive development. They can't discern the difference between fact and fiction because when they see the shark in Jaws or when they see the Wizard of Oz or whatever else, they don't think it's phony. They think it's real. There was a Jewish professor at University of Wisconsin who did her senior thesis on Mommy, I'm Scared. And she asked the graduating senior class, how many people were scared of something when they were young that they saw in a movie? And 90% of them, she thought maybe 2%, 90% said they'd been scared of Jaws. One guy said, I don't even want to take the swimming test because I think there's going to be a shark in the pool in Wisconsin. Darlene, there are no sharks in the pool. Joan, no, nah, you got to get over. But those fears, I think, are the demons of our age. We put fears into people's minds. And I go into screenings of movies that are absolutely vile, and I see parents taking little 3 or 4 year olds. Now, by the time you're 50, you may say, I can handle this. But the 3 or 4 year old is getting his scripts of behavior. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then what are his scripts and behavior going to be in terms of if he sees 50 Shades of Grey in terms of how he's going to treat a woman? It's not funny because it's already happening around the world. How is he going to treat a man? How is he going to treat his friends? How is he going to treat society? So understand your grammar of the media. Now, we grow up in our society understanding the grammar of the written word. I've been to a lot of schools, Dartmouth, Cambridge, University, Bordeaux, Toulouse, et cetera, NYU Law School, graduated from there, graduated from Dartmouth, et cetera. And they teach you the grammar of the written word. But the media works differently. It works on a visual grammar. So everybody look at me, please, and do what I'm doing. Just put your hand on your chin. Would you do this? And I'd say 90% of you, you have your hand on your cheek. And as soon as I say that, not your chin, as soon as I say that, oh, that's just Simon Says. But, you know, that's the way commercials work. Think about it. I have a little heart condition. So every morning and night, I'm taking heart medicine. And at one point, my doctor prescribed Lipitor. Well, I looked, and there was a commercial for Lipitor. And it was this man, and he was practically in bed, and he couldn't get up, and he took Lipitor, and then he was up dancing with his wife under the stars, probably in Catalina, you know, probably at the casino. I took Lipitor, and I was one of the 8% who couldn't tolerate Lipitor. So the room was spinning around. My muscles were all aching. I couldn't move. Now, what do they tell you? They tell you, if you can't move and your muscles are aching and you're lying on the floor and you're curled up in a fetal position, call your doctor. Yeah, right. That's exactly what you do, is call your doctor at that point. My son had to take me to the emergency room. But what had dominated in that commercial? The message that if you take Lipitor, you have an 8% chance of getting cramps, et cetera, and this is what could happen. What dominated was the image, the visual. So I'll have some parent saying, well, yes, I know there was a lot of sex and violence in that movie, but it was so beautiful and the ending was so good. But the kid is not listening to the ending. The kid is not getting the auto message. He's getting the visual message. After New Jack City, 35 kids were shot in theaters. And John Singleton, who made the movie, said, but I ended it with a redemptive comment. But they didn't pick up on the redemptive content. They picked up on gang warfare was fun. ISIS is fun. That's what they get. It's not fun. It's not good. And shooting 35 people is not good. But the visual dominates. So nobody's learning the grammar. So we teach people the grammar so you can teach your children and grandchildren how to develop the values that'll keep them from arguing with you. So you don't have to look over their shoulder all the time to make a difference in their life. And then understand the answers, your values, pick up the movie guide, it's free out there. All of that is for you. And we have the 6-week course, which you can come over to Camarillo and look at. Or we might get it here sometime. I might donate the course to test out. Movie Guide does not do thumbs up or thumbs down. We're not traffic cops. We're not trying to keep you from seeing things. We're trying to help you develop discernment. So that's why we use all that. We're trying to help you. One radio engineer, one guy had me on his radio program, and he said, you know, my daughter was about to go see this movie where a woman got her head cut off, and she read that in the content section. She said, although all my friends are going, I'm not going to go. We didn't tell her not to. We're trying to develop the discernment so they start making wise decisions. So Hollywood impacts your church even if you're in Catalina or Tasmania. Now your church can impact Hollywood. You can make a difference. Please turn it up.
I want to challenge.
Go back and see if we can get a little sound. Okay.
I want to challenge you to think on whatever things are true, whatever things are noble and just, whatever things are pure and lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. MovieGuide.org.
So here's my challenge to you. You all know the story of Telemachus. Does anybody know the story of Telemachus? It was Ronald Reagan's... Lily, my wife, knows the story of Telemachus, and now Scott does. You guys are just being silly. Okay. Ronald Reagan, this was his favorite story because he was the man in the arena. Teddy Roosevelt wrote a book, The Man in the Arena. The Roman Empire lasted 1,000 years. As you know, that awful, evil, Marxist heretic Adolf Hitler wanted to last more than 1,000 years, 1,000-year Reich, because he wanted to beat out the Roman Empire. Many people have tried to do that, but the Roman Empire lasted a long time. And the gladiatorial games was the way they entertained themselves. We do the same thing with movies, but people don't actually get killed in the movies. In the games, Lily and I were at the Colosseum last fall because we were there for the filming of Christ the Lord, and they come up and give you a tour, and they said first they had games and then they had the killings. And if I told you about the killings, Scott would kick me out of the church because they're so vile and evil. They were so cruel. They destroyed whole animal species. Remember, they used to have the lions in Judah. They used to have the tigers. Gone. They took the animals into the games and they killed them rampantly. It was fun. And it was an evil time. In fact, when Pilate went to Israel before he took over, he killed 63,000 people in the Colosseum in Israel just to show how powerful he was. And they thought it was nothing. Man is sinful. Man is broken. So 404 AD, a Christian way far away from Rome, as far as Catalina is from Washington, went across the Alps. You can see it right there on the map. And he walked, and you can only walk and travel about 30 miles a day to go from Germany all the way into Rome as a Christian. And he went to the Colosseum. He didn't know why God had called him. He got there, and he saw the evil that was going on in the Colosseum, and he said, stop, in the name of Jesus Christ. 1,000 years, it had not stopped. And they didn't stop, so he jumped into the Colosseum. The walls were so high that the tigers and the lions couldn't jump over them, higher than baseball stadium walls. He jumped in and he said, stop in the name of Jesus Christ. And the people said, kill him. So a gladiator ran him through. And as he was dying, he looked at Emperor Honorius and he said, stop in the name of Jesus Christ. And for the first time, Honorius stopped the games January 1st, 404 AD. There was never another gladiatorial game in all of the Roman Empire going from Spain to Iraq because of one person jumping into the arena. You can be that person. You can be that person just in terms of this church by inviting people to come to this church. You can be this person by standing for the good, the true, and the beautiful in Catalina. And you can be that person in the world at large that when God puts on your heart that people need salvation, that you're there to come to their aid. You can be the Telemachus. So I want you to go forth from here to take every thought captive for Jesus Christ. Jump into the arena, sign the mailing list, get the CultureWise family, whatever you want. But more than that, God is going to call you, just like he tells Scott every time before he has a service, what he's supposed to say. God is going to tell you what to say today at lunch and at dinner, that you can be the Telemachus in your world who changes the world for the good, the true, and the beautiful. God bless you, and have a wonderful day. Thank you.